Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very accomplished millennial, Anand Khumra. Anand, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Privileged to be here.
Thank you. Anand is from the Punjab Engineering College. He has done a qualification from Stanford Biodesign. He is the founder of Wellversed, which is a clinical technology company that enables health span maximization. And like a lot of millennials, he pursues his passion and he's a performing poet. Yeah. So Anand, let's talk first about your Wellversed Health.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of health span maximization?
So a lot of people are fairly well versed with the concept of lifespan, what we call how long we will live, right? But that's not all that matters. What matters is that how long will you be able to live independently without medication, without being dependent on others. Mm-hmm. This span is what we call health span.
Okay.
And with Wellverse, what we aim is to enable people to live independently as long as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you know, you're going to maximize health span, at what stage of life should I start to think about maximization?
When an infant is 2 years old,
okay.
You start at that point.
Okay.
Right. So the human body is biologically designed to live up to 119, 120 years old, right?
Okay.
And there are metabolic biological processes that enable the body to live that long. But we slowly poison ourselves starting as an infant, due to which we get chronic lifestyle conditions and other diseases. So we are not able to make up to that point.
Okay. So tell me about, when you founded Wellversed Health, what was your motivation of, developing a company like this or a business like this?
So in 2013, I got struck by a philosophical thought,
okay,
that eventually we'll stop existing. And this thought disturbed me so much that 2 months I wasn't able to function properly. And after that, I started researching a lot on what people are doing for health span maximization and maybe extending the human lifespan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just here to come and then go away from this earth? So this was a thought that was constantly nagging me. And then I found a lot of researchers who are working on lifespan maximization, radical extension of lifespan. Aubrey de Grey is working in this area, and a lot of other foundations like Max Life Foundation are working in this area, which gave me a lot of hope that maybe the technology could reach a point where we can live up to 2000 years old. And my initial thought was to be able to live up to 100 years old so that we can see technologies coming in which can radically extend our lifespan. So that's how it all started. So in 2013, I radically transformed my own lifestyle. I stopped eating sugar altogether. I stopped eating stuff from outside and things like that. So that was the starting point, and then it kind of snowballed from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you speak about managing aging, and there is a very old line which says that you begin to die the day you are born.
Yeah,
right.
Interesting.
And yet, over the years, there have been many, many things that have been used to managing aging,
right,
including something as complex as human growth hormones, the
right.
HGH. I think I'm sure you know a lot about it.
Yeah.
So, with so many options available, how do I know what is the best option for me?
See, so the first thing that we do differently is that we enable body to reach its maximum potential through natural means,
okay,
and not using anything artificial in that sense.
Okay.
Most of the solutions out there to manage aging are primarily centered on some other kind of value proposition. So, for example, you'll have a great looking skin, or your sexual performance will improve and stuff like that, right? But what we say is that all these things will come as a byproduct, and you need to fix your internal health parameters through natural means.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is where we are different in our approach.
Okay. So help me understand the process. If I'm 63 years old,
right,
I want to live till I'm 120.
Right.
Not that I want to, but if I do,
right,
I come to you. What are the things you will want to change in my life?
So when we talk about health span maximization, we plot the activities that a person can do on a pyramid, right? And there are 4 or 5 things that a person can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom of the pyramid, which is the lowest hanging fruit and which is the largest portion of anyone's lifestyle, is nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we tell you is to transform your nutrition. Mm-hmm. And with nutrition, we are poisoning ourselves each and every day, right?
Okay.
So we ask people to do fasting, intermittent fasting, and then be on a low carb paradigm. Mm-hmm. So we start with this, then we ask people to do certain exercises which involve breathing, which involve other kind of exercises and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then going up the pyramid, there are other activities, social, you know, and spiritual and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when I was reading about you, Keto-Fi is something that I was reading about. Is there something to do with keto diet? And what exactly is Keto-Fi?
Yeah, got it. So see, as a company, what we are really focused on is Wellvest Health is focused on creating tailor-made nutrition for people.
Okay.
Right? Everyone responds to different kind of nutrition differently. So everyone needs to have a specific kind of nutrition, especially if someone has a chronic lifestyle condition.
Yeah. Right?
Now, the Keto-Fi is one of our brands, which is centered on the low carb paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not really much to do with the keto diet as it is to do with the ketogenic metabolic process. Mm-hmm. So there's a metabolic process in the human body called ketosis. And it's an, evolutionarily speaking, it's an archaic process, which the body has optimized over time. So body is much more adept at using fats and proteins than it is at using carbohydrates, because carbohydrates came into the picture just in the last 10,000 years.
Okay.
And evolutionarily, we haven't adapted to kind of using carbohydrates, okay. Right? So now ketosis is a process where the body uses of fats to power the body. And this is what the brand is centered on. What we say is that will enable your body to be powered by fats and other nutrition,
okay,
instead of carbohydrates.
Okay. And, you know, I'm not much of a diet fan, but I've read a little bit about keto.
Right.
How easy is it to adapt the diet that is available on so much available on the internet to the Indian palate?
So before Keto-Fi, it was extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is the core purpose of Keto-Fi. So what we realized was that a lot of people realize the value of being on a low-carb paradigm or a ketogenic paradigm, right? As far as clinically, like for the last 20 years, ketogenic paradigm has been used to even reverse type 2 diabetes, right? But what a lot of people can't do is they can't change their existing behaviors. Mm-hmm. If you're used to eating a gulab jamun or a cookie or a roti, you can't just change that. And people just say, it's fine, just chuck it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just face some severe consequences, but it's fine, I need to eat this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we came in and said, okay, people are not going to change. Our products have to change. And this is why we created this entire parallel pantry of low carb and ketogenic products so that people can adapt to this.
So you have your own products?
We have like a range of 50 different products. And
talk to me a little bit about these products. What kind of products are these?
So everything and anything that a person is used to eating in their normal carb regime. So mm-hmm. for example, starting from flour, dosa mix, mm-hmm. Pancake mix, brownie mix, to snacking products like cookies, bhujia, namkeen and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we create everything that a person is used to eating in a low carb format so that the person does not have to compromise on their taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, if I want to order a kilo of flour, an atta from you, this will be different.
Yeah.
How will it be different from what I buy on Amazon?
So see, a normal atta is typically created from wheat, or it's a mixture of wheat and other millets, which are typically, let's say, 70 to 75% in carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy making a multigrain atta, you can make it slightly lower in GI, but it'll still be higher in carbs,
mm-hmm.
right? What we do is we recreate all the products from different ingredients, nuts and seeds, and there are some natural gums and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like these ingredients go through specific manufacturing processes to bring them into the same kind of texture, same kind of taste that people are used to consuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they can be cooked like any other Indian meal in any Indian home.
So the interaction with the product is the same. The taste is 90% similar. The texture is 90% similar. So this is how we're trying to do it.
I see. So, you know, Anand, tell me, I've spoken to so many people. There's a lot of awareness in at least one segment of Indians about gluten-free, about veganism, about making sure I have a low-carb diet.
Right.
Is there a lot of competition in this segment?
So when we started in 2018, we were the first players in India who brought the ketogenic products in India, right? And we have seen trends in two directions. One is massive awareness among the consumers, mm-hmm. among dietitians, among diabetologists and things like that. And in the last 6 months, we've also seen a lot of other brands trying to ride in on the keto wave. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is everyone is trying to call their products keto friendly, whether they are keto friendly or not. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, yeah, there is a lot of misinformation going around. There's a lot of people who are trying to cash in on the trend. Mm-hmm. But there are very few players who actually understand what the ketogenic metabolic process is and how it can be used to fix your internal and fundamental health parameters, right? So over the next 18 to 24 months, we'll see a lot of these pseudo players and copycat players coming in and all that. So the competition is there in terms of absolute spend. Yeah, the competition is there.
So, you know, we've got thousands of young people like you who will be watching you and me speaking.
Yeah.
Not everyone understands metabolism, yeah. etc. You know, everyone likes a full stomach.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to be healthy.
Yeah.
So can you explain the process of how there's a good food or a bad food that is good or bad for us?
I think the first advice I give everyone is that eat as less as possible. And being owner of a food brand, my investors are going to kill me when I say it, like, eat as less as possible, because, you know, so if you, let's say, are fasting 2 days in a 7 day period, then you can probably eat anything, right?
Okay.
So 48 hours of water fasting, then you can probably eat anything. But the timing and the quantity matters a lot, right? But since people are not able to like go to this severe behavior, what we have done is we have created natural products which help them to satiate their desire, right? While ensuring that they are eating natural products and which are low in carbs and which don't give them an insulin spike and stuff like that. So the entire purpose of Keto 5 was to kind of take away this pain away from people's mind that you have to plan, you have to think and stuff like that. Although like the challenge we are seeing, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people just trying to cash in on the trend, and this is where we see the challenge. This is where we need to create awareness.
You know, we used to live outside India in the East for many years. And one of the things that Chinese used to do was to eat small amounts, but 5 to 6 times a day.
Right.
Is that something similar to what you're also saying?
See, so scientifically speaking, eating small amount of meals spread out through the day does not have a lot of significant advantages over eating one meal a day. Right.
I see.
What has advantages? If you can restrict your food consumption to a window of 2 to 3 hours, this is what we call as intermittent fasting, right? So intermittent fasting. So when a person is on a fast, what happens is that their glycogen reserve, glycogen is a reserve of energy. Let's say if you eat carbohydrates, they are first stored as glycogen and then stored as fat, right?
Okay.
So once you stop eating, your glycogen reserve starts getting used up, right? Once those are used up, your fats getting start used up, right? So once your fats getting used up, this is the state what we call ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
So clinically, what has been proven is that if a person goes into and out of ketosis a lot, it has a lot of hormonal benefits,
mm-hmm.
and it has a lot of advantages related to growth hormone and stuff like that. Yeah.
So again, you know, you spoke of intermittent fasting. I'm a great believer. I've been doing intermittent fasting for almost 2 years. For our listeners and our viewers, help us understand what is intermittent fasting.
So intermittent fasting is a very simple concept, and I'll talk about it from both perspectives. One is how to do it in a modern lifestyle and why it is relevant. Like, it's simple to understand, right? So imagine the humans evolving through 50,000 years of evolution, right? A human being 50,000 years ago woke up, right? Didn't have access to breakfast, didn't have access to stored food. They had to walk a lot. And since they had been sleeping, they had been fasting for, let's say, 8 to 9 hours, right? Their glycogen reserves got depleted.
Mm-hmm.
They got up, they searched for food, which means they exercised.
Yeah.
Their glycogen reserve got used up even more. Now they are running on fats, right? So they got into ketosis. And when they found some food, it was very low on carbohydrates. It was like berries and nuts and whatnot, maybe meat and stuff like that, right? And they got access to this food maybe once a day, or maybe if they were lucky, twice a day, right? So the body has, over the years of evolution, optimized itself to operate on this pattern, right? So the key now, since we have access to stored food, the key now is to mimic this behavior, but not compromise on nutrition,
okay?
Right. The adverse effect in those times was that they didn't have access to higher nutrition, right? So let's say they got deficient in magnesium and stuff like that. But this is something that we can control now.
Okay.
So the key is to mimic that behavior, but to be high on nutrition. Mm-hmm. So intermittent fasting is a concept where you'll eat in a single window of 4 to 6 hours, let's say, and then you won't eat anything at all. No coffee, no tea.
4 to 6 hours in 24 hours.
Yeah,
right.
Four to six hours in 24 hours.
Right. No coffee, no tea.
Rest of the 22 hours or 16 hours, you run on water, right? You give rest to your body.
I see. And you have to do this 365 days a year, or can you binge once in a while?
You can binge once in a while. That's not an issue.
Okay.
So I personally like to balance it in this way. For example, if I have been binging for, let's say, 2-3 days, then I'll like to do a 3-4 day fast.
And 3-4 days just
water on water. Fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
That is
so. Fasting is one of the greatest tools that humans have at their disposal to improve their health, right? Yeah.
Are we going back to thousands of years of what we have heard Indians do, or what my mother used to do, or my grandmother used to do, fast on every Tuesday and Friday?
So I think, yeah, we are going back there, but now the adoption is much higher because now the Western society is saying that this is good for you. Now the science is saying that this is good for you, right? Like we have known this intrinsically, like yeah. Fasting for us is not an alien thing, right? Like our family members do fasting all the time.
Correct.
But over time, what has happened in India is that fasting has kind of, bought flavors of religion and stuff like that, which has ended up removing the scientific connotation from it. So actually, if you want to really want to reap benefits of a fast, you can't eat anything. Like, so you can't eat sabudana, you can't eat potatoes,
yeah.
you can't fast the way people fast in Ramzan and stuff like that. That's not beneficial for the human body.
Yeah. Most people, when they do a prolonged fast, they end up putting weight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're allowed to eat in a certain window, yeah. And they really eat that.
Exactly.
Very good. So, Anand, when I was reading again about you, you founded Fine Superfoods, F-I-N-E.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm getting the pronunciation
right. That's
right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Two questions on this. One is, what is Fine Superfoods all about? And second question, what is a superfood?
So, superfood, I'll answer the second question first.
Right, sure.
Superfood is a loose definition of a food product that would exceed certain nutritional value per gram.
Okay.
Right.
And give me an example.
So for example, let's say we'll say wheat is not a superfood, but almond is a superfood.
Okay.
Right. And this is a loose definition. Sure. It will really depend on the region, the context, and stuff like that. Right.
But even that, I can't have 40 almonds in one day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because that could also be bad.
Exactly. So with Fine Superfood, what we were trying to do was we were trying to create a product. Again, which has a connotation in the Indian palate, right? And it was a chutney-like mixture, but a superfood chutney in the sense that nutritionally balanced, but very high in nutrition. So whatever nutrition you're missing out on in an Indian diet, you get through that product, right? And how this product started was that, like I mentioned in my journey in 2013, I had a major transition. I started creating this product for myself. And for 6-7 months, I just used to consume it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then friends and colleagues around me started asking for it. And then we started producing it and then distributing it, right?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So one more question before I move to the next segment. You've got a whole range of 50 products, you said, under Ketofi.
Right.
You've got brands under, Fine.
Right.
Are these available online on Amazon or Flipkart, etc.?
Yeah. So the entire Ketofi range is available on Amazon, on our own website, and select offline locations also.
Okay.
So Ketofi as a brand, I'll just add on to that.
Yeah.
So we are not just a ketogenic food brand, right? What we like to call ourselves is that we are an anti-carb brand.
Okay.
Anyone who consumes high amount of carbs is either at risk of health condition right now or in the future,
okay.
Right? So everyone needs to lower their carb intake,
okay.
Right? So we have a spectrum of products which allow people to reduce their carbs by, let's say, just 50% to people who are, let's say, type 1 diabetic who want to go on a zero carb diet. So this is an entire spectrum that we cater to.
I see.
And everything is available online.
I see. So I'm ask you one more question,
yeah.
Because you spoke of carbs. Why is carbs not good for us?
So, I'll just have to dwell into the science of it a little
sure,
bit, right?
Sure.
So there are three macronutrients: fats, protein, and carbohydrates, right? Whenever we eat macronutrients, the body releases insulin to kind of remove them from the, and this is like very basic science, right? There are nuances to it, right? So whenever we eat carbohydrates, we have a very, very large insulin spike, because to maintain homeostasis, the body needs to remove those carbs from the, that glucose from the blood and store it as glycogen, right? So carbohydrates have the highest insulin spike, followed by proteins and then by fat. Fat has the flattest insulin spike, right? So if you're just eating fat, you can never get fat, right? What insulin does is, insulin is a signal to the body that whatever you have eaten is needs to be stored. So what we Indians do is that we eat carbs along with fats. Carbs give us an insulin spike, and the body, when the insulin comes in, body says, okay, like this much calories are in the body, store it as fat. Right. So this is why we keep getting fat all the time. And once we remove everything from the blood, we again feel hungry, and then we again eat high carbohydrates, and then there is again an insulin spike. So what we need to do is, we need to maintain our insulin spike as flat as possible, right? That's why we need to consume fats and proteins together, or carbs and proteins together.
Very interesting. So this is really a battle between comfort food and superfood.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, you know, and moving on, you are a performing poet.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it and maybe recite something.
Sure. So I never knew that I could be a poet, and okay. I used to write all the time. Even like now, in retrospect, I remember.
Which language do you write in?
I'm an Urdu poet.
Urdu poet. Yeah. Okay.
Terrific. Yeah. So in retrospect, I remember my friends reminding me that I used to create a lot of rhyming lines as a child. Okay. I didn't remember that, but so I used to keep writing in my diary, and you know, and like 4 or 5 years back, I just started reciting these couplets in parties and stuff like that, and people started appreciating it, and that's how kind of it started, right? And I think the influence came because we belong to Amritsar, and we used to get reception of Lahore TV in Amritsar, right?
Okay.
And
yeah.
My mom used to keep watching Pakistani dramas all the time.
Right.
And we had this like subconscious training in Urdu. Huh. So I think that's how it started.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. So will you recite something for us?
Yeah. So there's a couplet on how people ask me like, aap shayar kaise bane? So us pe ek char lines hai. Isme ek word aata hai sahir, which means magician. आसान नहीं है जज्बात के माहिर का पैदा होना. आसान नहीं है जज्बात के माहिर का पैदा होना, और मुश्किल है अल्फाज के साहिर का पैदा होना. मरते हैं बहुत से किरदार इंसान के अंदर, कोई खेल नहीं है किसी शायर का पैदा होना.
बहुत खूब, बहुत बढ़िया, बहुत अच्छा. एंड रिक्वेस्ट फॉर ऑल आर ऑडियंस, it's just interpret these lines.
Yeah. So when people ask me how you became a shayar, and so I just tell them that the first thing is that you have to be constantly be disturbed by some emotion or something that is wrong in the world, right? And you have to conquer that emotion. So the line says that aasan nahi hai jazbaat ke mahir ka paida hona, right? To conquer that emotion.
Absolutely.
And then to put that disturbance into words. Aur mushkil hai alfaz ke sahir ka paida hona. Magician of words, right?
Yeah.
And then a lot of personalities get killed in you when you are a shayar, because you feel so many things, right? So marte hain bahut se kirdar insaan ke andar, कोई खेल नहीं है किसी शायर का बहना.
बहुत बढ़िया, वेरी नाइस. यू नो, आई मस्ट टेल यू दैट यू आर द फर्स्ट शायर वी हैव हैड ऑन आवर शो. थैंक यू वेरी मच. सो आई हैव जस्ट फ्यू मोर क्वेश्चंस लेफ्ट. यू नो, यू आर वेरी यंग इवन नाउ. हैव यू हैड एनी मेंटर्स, एंड इफ सो व्हाट काइंड ऑफ इन्फ्लुएंस हैव दे हैड ऑन यू?
सो आई थिंक मेंटरशिप रियली स्टार्टेड एट होम. आई हैव seen my dad experimenting with a lot of stuff, and like a lot of the ideology of doing what you really want to do comes from my dad, and then later from my brother, like who's also a very successful entrepreneur. He runs a company called QMath, which is like one of the largest edtech companies in India right now, right? So I think mentorship in this sense kind of began at home, and because I've also been a student of classical music, so I've trained with Pandit Deshpal and Ustad Sabri Khan and people like those. So you kind of, so I won't think, say that this is a direct training in professional or anything like that, right? But you kind of see how these people behave with other people, and that kind of trains you in a certain sense on a subconscious level. And some of the things that they told me, let's say 10 years back, they come to me now, and when you are in a situation, and then you realize, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. So just a couple of more questions.
Of course.
Failure for us in India is something which is not really acceptable. You know, our parents have never taught us that it's okay to fail. It's always come first.
Right.
Be right in the front of the queue.
Right.
And yet we all fail.
Right. You know,
and we keep going.
Right.
What have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes or failures that you've had so far?
So I'll like briefly comment on, I think, why it is the way it is, right? And why is the Indian society the way it is? I think maybe it's not so much to do with their personalities, it's to do with the kind of era that they have gone through, and maybe the opportunities weren't there, and maybe even a small failure just meant a large difference in the kind of a lifestyle that you will eventually end up having, right? And I understand that. And in one sense, a lot of people, like a lot of young entrepreneurs also come to me and say, yaar, hamare parents hame nahi karne de rahe, and stuff like that.
Aap kaun se bahut umar ho gaya hai. Abhi bahut young.
I'm also, I'm not that young. So, I tell them that, see, that deterrent to failure or their fear of failure should kind of act as a motivation for you, right? So if you're able to convince them that you're doing something and it's the right direction, that's the first step to convince yourself that you're going the right direction, right? I think that's kind of your safety net. That's kind of your guiding principle also. So I won't say that this kind of fear of failure is all bad. It kind of helps us talk to ourselves, helps us recalibrate our thoughts and stuff like that. Yeah. So in terms of failure, yeah, I have tried a lot of things. I have I've tried to build algorithms that would create music. I have tried to launch small brands which haven't worked out and stuff like that. But I think why I don't consider them failures, because they were like initial steps in what we are doing right now.
Correct.
So Aditya and I, my co-founder and I, we started a brand called Unsnack, and it didn't work out very well for us, right? But if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't be doing this. Yeah.
So Anand, thank you very much. Talking to you has been a very enriching experience for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of viewers.
It was a pleasure.
Good luck with Keto-Fi, with Fine Foods, and most importantly with your poetry.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.